would you take your Bibles this morning and open them to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Chapter 40 of Isaiah. We're taking a couple of weeks or so before the end of the year to look at Christmas and to ask God to get our hearts prepared for this season. And you might ask the question, why do I need to be prepared for this season? Multiple times in Scripture it tells us to prepare the way of the Lord and for us to be prepared. Now, I grew up being a Boy Scout, so my motto during Boy Scouts was always be prepared, which I wasn't always. I went to Boy Scout meetings and I did what I was supposed to do and got my, you know, my medals and all those kinds of things, but in the rest of my life, I wasn't always prepared, and still to this day, I'm not always prepared. But I believe that Isaiah gives us a strong message today of how we can prepare ourselves for the Messiah. Now, we know that He came to this earth already. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But He's coming again as well. And so are we going to be prepared for that? Even as that song we just sang, you know, I'm satisfied with Him, but is He satisfied with me? Am I ready to be in His presence? And so this morning we're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. Let's read that together. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in all the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places like a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go on up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and His arm rules for Him. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms. He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young. Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, thanking You for this day that we can come and look at Your Word and we can hear Your promises to us. And that, Father, You can encourage us to become more and more like the One You sent to lead us as our shepherd. Father, I pray today that You will speak to my heart. You will speak to every heart in this room. You will speak to this church's heart, Father, because this is Your church and it's all about You. And I pray You will be lifted up and exalted in this day. And I pray it in the mighty and powerful and awesome name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, this is an interesting passage that God gives Isaiah, as Isaiah is a prophet to the nation and specifically to the prophet of Judah and to Jerusalem. And so Isaiah, as a prophet, literally is speaking to the people of Jerusalem on God's behalf. He is the one who is speaking to them, as the Holy Spirit is not yet loosened from heaven to be here in our hearts. That had to happen after Jesus went back to be with the Father after His crucifixion and resurrection, and He promised that the Holy Spirit would come. But at this point, God was speaking through specific people to His people. And so Isaiah is the mouthpiece for God. And so this is an interesting passage because it begins with something that's very important. I just have to tell you a little story about when I was a young child. I always change that from little child to young child because I never was little. But as a young child, I remember my grandmother used to make quilts. She was a quilter. Any of you ever done any quilting, by the way? A few of you have. You know, it's not an easy thing, and it's kind of time-consuming, and it's like my mother-in-law, she would make all these wonderful quilts and comforters and all the, what would you call those other things that she would make by knitting and crocheting, and she would just make some incredible things. I sleep under one every night. I just, just amazing. But I remember my grandmother, she would make all these beautiful quilts, and she would hang them on the wall, and she had this quilting table that she would use and all this stuff. And then she made what we would call comforters. You know what those are? They're a little thicker, and they have all the lacing around the edges and stuff like that. But they were so nice and soft and warm and comfortable. No wonder, comfortable. Comforter. And I remember on those cold nights, sliding in under that comforter and just feeling like, oh, this is where I want to stay and I don't want to get up in the morning. Right? Comfort. We enjoy comfort, don't we? We enjoy being comfortable. We enjoy things that make us feel comfortable. But have you ever thought about receiving the Lord's comfort? Receiving His comfort in your life. Well, that's what this whole passage begins talking about. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. He starts out by saying God desires for us to have His comfort. You see, folks, God doesn't want us to think of Him as one who's sitting up on a high place, looking down on us with a large stick in His hand, waiting for us to get out of line so He can beat us over the head. That's not God. God looks at His people and He wants to comfort us because we need it. He knows we need it. He knows that every single one of us struggle and hurt and have pain. God knew His people in this particular passage were facing many hardships and many trials. He knew that things were going to happen to Jerusalem and to Judah that were going to be very tough. And I think all of us go through struggles. All of us go through trials and tough times. Maybe this year's been a tough year for you. Maybe it's been a tough year for your family. But just know this. God wants to give you comfort. In the times of struggles, He wants to give you comfort. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it tells us that. It says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." You see, the comfort that God gives us as His children is not given just so that we can feel good and so that we can feel that comfort, although it is in many respects, God is trying to tell His children, you can crawl up in my lap anytime. You can realize that in my presence, you have all that you need. But He's not just doing that just for us. He's doing that so that we can take that comfort that we've been comforted with and then give it to other people. Look at what verse 2 says in chapter 40. It says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem," and what? "Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." In other words, God is saying, listen, I want you to be comforted in these days that we look to what Jesus has done for us, coming into this world so that He could be the sacrificial lamb for us. He wants us to take that in comfort because we know that we are comforted by the fact that He has covered all of our sins. But not only take that and use that then for all the people around us that have not felt that comfort, who have not experienced the love of God. God says that her warfare is ended. What does that mean? You see, folks, her warfare is ended, and believers, one day our struggles will be over. You know, this life is a struggle sometimes, isn't it? Almost every day there's something that comes along that just makes us wonder, how can we keep going on? How can we keep our eyes fixed on the place they need to be fixed on, because all these other things seem to be pulling on us and tearing us down? But folks, victory is coming, and that's the comfort. And by the grace of God and by the cross of Jesus Christ, all of our sins have been pardoned, and for me, that's comfort. You see, there's no doubt about it. I'm a sinner. I continue to sin, although I don't want to. But I am comforted by the fact that Jesus took every one of my sins and He paid for them on the cross. And the punishment that I deserve for all of those sins, He took upon Himself. That comforts me, because I know that His love is perfect and that His blood covered it all. And I know that because of that, He sees me as completely clean and forgiven and His child. Makes me feel like crawling in under the comforter, into the arms of God, and knowing that He is completely satisfied. God wants to give you comfort. He desires for you to have His comfort. He wants to give you specifically comfort. See, God not only desires to comfort, give you comfort. After all, He did send us His Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But He also wants to comfort others. You see, folks, there are people all around us that don't know that comfort right now. They don't know peace that passes all understanding, as Scripture says. They have not yet understood that all of their sins can be forgiven. And they can be made whole and clean before God. They have not received that yet. Many of them have not received it because they've not yet heard it. Why have they not heard it? Because we've not yet told them. See, that's our whole purpose for being here. That's our whole purpose for living right now. If we know Jesus Christ, our whole purpose is not so that we can go to work and make a paycheck and buy the things that we want and make sure that our family's taken care of. That's not our purpose. That's a blessing that God allows us to have along the way. But our whole purpose is to what? To go ye therefore into all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them the things that He has commanded us. Our purpose is to share the comfort of God that we already have experienced with the people all around us who have not yet experienced it. We can't do that until you receive the Lord's comfort. God wants to give you comfort. Now, I say it again because there's a picture of the future John the Baptist right here in Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 3 through 5 is a pre-seeing of something that was going to happen. And Isaiah said, "There will be a voice of one calling out in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. A rough ground shall become level, and rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Now you see, John the Baptist used many of these same phrases as he came and says, "Start preparing the way for the Lord. He's coming. The Messiah is here, and He's coming." This picture was one for Isaiah to give to us, and now for us to see it from passages like the ones in John, talking about John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord. In the original language, this is a picture of turning away from one thing and turning towards something else. Now, when you think about Judaism, when you think about people who were looking towards Christ coming rather than us being so blessed to be able to look of the fact that Jesus has already come. He's already died and paid the sacrificial death for us on the cross. But when you look at it from their perspective, there's something that stands out here. It says, it's a picture of something, of turning away from one thing and turning towards something else. Well, what would they have to turn away from? They would have to turn away from the continual sacrifices, from the continual going to the temple every time that they needed their forgiveness. And they would have to offer up sacrifices. John the Baptist is saying, now you need to turn away from that and turn to the one thing that covers all people. And God was continuously showing that to the people in the Old Testament that there will be a day when the Messiah will come and He will be the ultimate sacrifice for the sins, not only of us, but for the whole world, Scripture says. Our Lord wants us to turn from the things this world thinks are so important to the one person who is of utmost importance, and that's Jesus Himself. You see, the season of Christmas is not so joyous because we get to open up presents and put up a Christmas tree and do all the festive things about Christmas. The season of Christmas ought to remind us of the most important thing that could have ever happened, and that's that the Messiah would come. You see, He couldn't do what He did on the cross if He didn't come and be who He was in the cradle. And God allowed Him to be born of a virgin and to live a pure and sinless life so that one day He could be the ultimate sacrifice for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells it like this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is now set before us. You see, folks, God wants to give us comfort, and He wants to comfort us with this very fact that we don't have to try to somehow live up to all the standards that we could never live up to. One person has already done that for us. But now what He's chosen to do is allow us to be the ones who come with the words of comfort for others. So the second thing this morning is this. We ought to share the Lord's comfort. It's good to know the comfort of the Lord, isn't it? It's good to crawl into His arms. It's good to be comforted with Him. But what good is that unless we share it with other people? God's desire for all people is to have His comfort. Look down in verse 9. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. You see, folks, I think we've gotten it all wrong. I think in many ways, when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we went, yeah, the box has been checked off and I'm good. Now I can do what I want to. And really, that's been the MO of many churches and many people in many churches is, hey, you know, I'm okay now. And so now I don't have to worry about stuff and I can do whatever I want to. But the problem is that's not what God wants us to do. What He wants us to do is to go up on a high mountain. In other words, get in a place where people can hear you. God desires for all people to have His comfort. Our Lord wants us to bring the good news. Christmas is a time to share the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, folks, we talk about Christmas as a time of giving, but we tend to always think of it as something physical that we give. And so, man, we go to the malls and we go to the shops and we go to all these places and we buy all these things and we want to make sure they're all wrapped perfectly and that they're all just right. But what are we truly giving? Are we giving stuff? Or are we giving the best thing ever? The love of God. The love of God is so important. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare His room. You know, folks, we've got to remember that Christmas is not about us. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. We are to celebrate it, absolutely, because God has done the greatest thing ever. He's given us His only Son. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And God took on the form of man and came and dwelt among us, the Scripture says. He desires for all people to have this comfort. He also desires us, He wants us to clear out the clutter in our life. What does that mean? Well, look at verses 6 through 8. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What should I cry out?" It says, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely people are like grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But the Word of our God stands forever." You see, folks, our time here is very short. The Scripture reminds us of that. It seems like, man, you know, I've been alive for a long time, but when you look back, you realize it's not that long. James says, it appears like your life is like a vapor. It appears for just a moment, and then it's gone. We don't have a whole lot of time. As I've said before, time is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to Him. The number one reason people typically don't share God's love with other people is because every gift we've ever given or received will fade away, except the gift of the good news. Think about it, folks. You might be worrying, what am I going to get Uncle Jim? Well, does Uncle Jim know Jesus? How about when you give him that special gift that you bought for him, you also give him the best gift ever by telling him that God loves him and Jesus paid for him on the cross. What would happen if we started using this time of Christmas to be about Jesus rather than about us? God wants us to share His news. The number one reason people don't share the good news is I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what they might think. I'm afraid I might mess it up. I don't know exactly what to say. Remember this. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this. What then shall we say in response to all of these things? Paul was going on about all these things that had happened and all these things that God had promised him, that he would never leave him or forsake him, that in every way he could see the love of God. He says this. What is our response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, folks, you might say, well, if I say something to somebody, they might get offended or they might not want to talk to me anymore. Is that worth telling them the truth? Yes. See, because if God is for us, who can be against us? It is worth the time. It is worth the effort. It is worth the being afraid that they might not receive what I have to say. Folks, there are people that live all around us. There are people that work all around us. There are people that are in our families that we know don't know Jesus. How can you comfort them? By telling the truth. In love. Not beating them over the head and saying, man, you're such a sinner, you're going to die and go to hell. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the greatest thing that's ever happened. We celebrate this season that Jesus came not only so He could be born in a manger. Literally, Jesus came to live, to die for us. God also wants all people to see His power. Look at verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with what? Power. And His arm rules for Him. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. See, God wants everybody to see His power. How can they see His power if we cover it up? How can they see His power if we act like it's not really all that important? How can they see His power when we downgrade everything that about what we're doing and don't want to talk about it? We need to help people connect with the true message of Christmas. What is the true message of Christmas? You better not pout. You better not cry. He's going to see if you're naughty or nice. No, that's not what it is. That's not the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Literally, the true message of Christmas is found right here in verses 10 and 11. The sovereign Lord comes with power. His arm rules for Him. See, the reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms. He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young. In other words, God says, I've come so that you might have comfort. Folks, there's no greater comfort in any person's life than knowing that they're forgiven. Have you ever had someone in your life that you've had a struggle with and problems with, and there's been a chasm, a split between you and that person, a relationship that's broken? But God wants to mend the relationship between us and Him. And so He did. He became the bridge between our old life and a new life. And the bridge is Jesus Christ. He comes in great power. And He comes with great love. Folks, my challenge to myself and my challenge to you is this. Let's do something different this Christmas. Let's do something different. Now, I'm not saying don't hang up stockings and all the other stuff that you do as a tradition. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's do something different. And that is to take this opportunity of what Christmas is really all about and use it for His glory. Because people all around us need the comforting of God. And that's why He begins this whole passage by saying, comfort ye the people. There's no greater comfort than knowing my sins have been forgiven and I've been set free. I remember the day when I was 14 years old when the weight of my sin was taken off my own life. And it's simply because I chose to follow Jesus Christ and receive His forgiveness in my life and make Him my Lord. And there was a comfort that came upon me because of that. Did I ever feel pain again? Sure, I feel it all the time. But I have a comfort in knowing this, that every sin has been paid for. And every problem I have has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And now I can choose to walk in Him today in this season that God gives us. If you make it to Christmas on the 25th, which we all don't know for sure we will, right? But if you make it to the 25th, on the 26th, I hope we can all get up and look back and say, you know what? I made Christmas about Christ this year instead of about everything else. I told some people about Jesus that needed to hear. I prayed for them. I wrote them a letter. I made a phone call. I did whatever it took to try to give them some comfort. Because realize this, folks, every person who doesn't know Jesus has no real comfort in their life. They're looking to all the things of this world to try to fill up that hole in their life, and nothing will. But God is asking you, and He's asking me, to comfort my people. How can you do that? Take the comfort that He's given you and share it with the people around you. That's God's desire for us. So as we prepare for Christmas, couple of weeks out, as we're looking towards that time that this world talks about Christmas. Why do they talk about it? Because Jesus came. Let's take that opportunity to be praying, to be asking God to open up opportunities for us to speak to those people that we know that need to know Jesus. And let's ask Him to speak through us and give them His comfort. Amen?
Amen?
All in favor, sit down. It passed. All right. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for Your comfort. Lord, to be honest, I lived a life with not a whole lot of comfort for a while. And I didn't know where that comfort would come from until I met You. I thank You, Father, that in the midst of our struggles and our trials, in the midst of this world that constantly beats us down and tells us we're of no value, You said, I'll show you the value that You have in My eyes by allowing My only Son to come and become a sacrifice for Your sins. For all the things that You've chosen to do that are against Me, I laid those sins on the back of Jesus, and He paid for those sins on the cross. And because of that, when I look at You, I don't see those sins anymore because they're paid for and washed away. What I see is a person who's completely changed from the inside out. Saved by the blood of Jesus. I see a person that I love, that I want to be with Me forever. Father, every person deserves an opportunity to hear that good news. And so, Lord, I pray that You will open up doors of opportunity in the next couple of weeks as we spend time with people in our family or we spend time around people that we work with. Give us that opportunity, Lord, and help us to take that opportunity and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. That they don't have to live without a hope. They don't have to live without comfort. They can know if they died today or 100 years from now, they're going to be with Him forever. Their sins are forgiven. They've been made white as snow. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who's not yet trusted Jesus, that this would be the day. You'll never understand real comfort and peace in your life until you come to know Jesus. I pray right now that You would open up your heart's door to Him who loves you so much, who came and lived in a human body when He didn't have to, so that He could speak to us and live a life in front of us and pay an ultimate sacrifice for us. Would you call out to Him today? Would you ask Him to become your Lord and Savior? And trust Him to forgive you of all your sin. There's no greater comfort than doing that. You can do it right now, right where you're seated. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I understand that when You came to live here on this earth, You came because You loved me. And You lived a life for me. And You died on the cross because of me. And I trust You. And I forgive You. I ask for Your forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you prayed a prayer like that this morning, I want to encourage you to not be silent about it, but to tell others. Because He has now given you a responsibility to take what you have and share it with the people around you. I pray you'll do that as well. We're going to sing the song of invitation. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, you want to speak to someone, I'll be right here. I'd love to do that. Let's stand and let's begin to sing. Softly and tenderly.